For the devotions that we're doing, our texts are actually the different commands. We heard the first command 2 weeks ago. Today we'll focus on the second and third commandments. You can see those written there on page 7. We'll read those later together. But just to remind us of those, that you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Names are sometimes a difficult thing to pick from, to choose. They carry a lot of meaning. If you've ever had kids and you have to choose the name of your kids, you understand how names carry a lot of weight. Right? You and your spouse might be talking about names, and you pick this name, and then they say, I don't know if we can pick that name. That reminds me of this person from high school or college. When you hear a name, it reminds you of something. It carries a lot of weight, a reputation. We see that out in the world as well. We see that in politics now, where just saying one of the names from one of the sides, right? If it's Trump or Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, that those names cause emotions in people. Names carry weight and reputation. Or just think of even a general name like mother or father, mom or dad. What do you think about when you hear mom or dad? You have good thoughts? Bad thoughts? The hope is good thoughts, but sometimes we talk about just the idea of when we call God the Father, people who didn't have good relationships with a father, that if they didn't know their father and they hear that God is a loving father, well, what's their picture of a father? Names carry weight. They carry the reputation. So we see that, and we need to think about that of what God's name means for us. As we look at, we don't want to misuse the name of the Lord, the God. We talk about the meaning. We should fear and love God, that we do not use his name to curse, swear, lie, or deceive, use it superstitiously, but call on God's name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. What's an interesting thing, though, is are you going to call on God's name in every trouble, pray, or praise, and give thanks if you don't think good things about God? What do I mean by that is, like, when you hear the name of God, what comes to mind? Do you think of just like this man in the clouds, a big white beard who doesn't care? Or when you think about God, when you think about Jesus, do you have joy? Do you have peace? What we think about him and his reputation, it really means everything, doesn't it? Pastor Mike Novotny, in his book where he talks about God is here, he talks about that what we think about God is so important. When you hear God's name, does it fill you with joy? Do you want to sing, or do you just kind of shrug? And our hope is that that's what we feel, but we know there's a lot of people in the world that they hear the name of God, they think about God, and they really just think, If our view of God isn't that positive, maybe you don't think negatively about God, but God's not that impressive or that comforting. Well, we can understand maybe why you don't go to God very often. That if God isn't very thrilling, then what do we think about heaven? Is it maybe kind of boring? Is it hard to find truth in life if God is kind of ho-hum? Fear is going to be great if we don't think great about God. It's going to be hard to find happiness. Repentance? Why would I repent if God is not loving, if he doesn't want to listen to me? Peace is going to be impossible. what we think about God matters. If you think much about God, you are going to be filled with happiness and peace. You want to obey. You want to be close to Him. The thought of heaven is this joyful, great, amazing thing. What we think about God and His name and His reputation matters tremendously. His name, this is what that second commandment is. When we talk about the first, second, and third commandment, they're all really related. You shall have no other gods, and often the problem is we don't think much about God and His name. Who do we think more about? What name do we like to put first? Our names? We like to emphasize ourselves and make it all about us. And so we dishonor His name by making it more about us, and we don't think about who He is and His reputation. He's a loving Father. He's one that gives us salvation and peace and hope. And my prayer is that's what you think about when you think about God's name, and His reputation goes before Him. But if we don't have that, we're not going to be at peace, and we're not going to want to be in His Word, what the third commandment is all about. It's going to be hard to find peace in Him and to find rest if I don't think about God, or I make it more about myself. When we look at who God is, we see that His name, He's a Father, He's loving, it's all about salvation. We also look and see that He's a Creator. We know that He created the world. What else did He create? Created you and me, right? What does that mean if you have a creator? Someone created you. How many of you, when you get a new, maybe some technology or some other tool, men are very good at this. They just like, I can put this together. I can fix it, right? I can figure this out. I don't need the instructions. Some men out there are smiling and laughing because, you know, we can do it. We don't need all those instructions. But think about us as people. If we have a creator, then were we created to function in certain ways? Do we kind of have an instruction manual on how our bodies, our souls, our minds are supposed to work? And does that have a lot to do with how we can rest physically, spiritually, emotionally in our Lord? Because I think it's interesting to think about how we go about life spiritually, physically, and emotionally and saying, I don't need to be concerned about how God created me, how my body is supposed to work, how my mind and my soul, my emotions are supposed to work. I can just go and ignore it. It's like a car that you never take and get an oil change, you never get it checked up on, and maybe even you don't put the right gas in, because you're like, I know what's best. What's going to happen? That car is going to break down. It's not going to work the way it's supposed to do. And isn't that what we do with ourselves? And as the third commandment, it is about being in God's Word, but it's also being about resting in God. And if am I not able to rest in God if I'm not emotionally, spiritually, physically healthy? And part of the problem with this is we believe some lies that keep us so distracted, so busy, so overwhelmed that we're just unable to rest in any of these things. Just think of the general concept of if someone asks you how you're doing, what's your answer? How's it going? What do you say? Busy? Is that the typical response? Busy? And we just fill our lives with stuff. And it's our culture. It's our technology. We're just overwhelmed. And so are we resting in God? Are we resting in His Word? I think there's an argument you can make that there's three main lies that affect us that keep us from resting in God. The first two will kind of group together. that kind of relate to each other. The first lie is that you need to be perfect, and the second one is that you can make everyone happy. And you say, well, of course I know I can't be perfect. I'm a sinner, I know that, but what happens if you make a mistake? What happens if in your job or in a different part of your life you don't meet your expectations? And just think about all the callings that you have in life, all the places you're put in all these places. Can you be perfect in all of those things? Can you give the same amount of energy to work, to family, to all these things? That kids, you have your education, your sports, all these different things. And can I be equally good in all those things? There's going to be something you're going to have to neglect. In order to excel in one thing, the truth is you're going to have to be average in something else. But we think, I have to be perfect. I have to do everything amazing. And that's overwhelming. And it puts our heart, we're anxious and never at peace. Never at rest in God. And who do we make it all about? Not resting in God, but all about what I'm doing. And that really relates to the making everyone happy, because we struggle to say no, don't we? We struggle to say, I can't do that thing. I know you need help, or I know there's we need this to get done. And so we extend ourselves because we want to make everyone happy. And you think about it this way. How many of you have, you know, a work day that is what used to be 9 to 5, right? How many of you get done with work and you're done with work? No texting, no email, nothing else. But what do we have? We have constant communication, constant talking, and we're constantly connected. But how much work is enough? Is it 40 hours? Is it 50 hours? Is it 60 hours? And if you work 60 hours, you know what's probably going to happen is someone's still not going to be happy that you didn't get that thing done, or you didn't do this to that level. And we have to understand, not just with work, but with life. Are you going to let people down? Are you going to forget to help someone? Are you going to make a promise? Are you going to make everyone happy all the time? You're not. And we have to learn that and to understand that, yes, we can try, but also understanding we need to rest. Think about it this way. Did Jesus help and heal every person? We talked about this in catechism when we were talking about the Good Samaritan. And you think about, we teach and we talk about, you know, we should help everyone. And often, you know, there's someone there that we walk by, and is that sinful to not help that person? But then you even think about Jesus. People were coming to be healed, and sometimes he would go off and go pray and go rest. Even our Savior, our perfect Savior, took time on his own. The last part, the last lie is the idea that we're fine, right? That everything's okay, that you can just keep on going and it's going to be okay. I think it's so often that we just go and go and go, and then you crash. They say people won't change, people won't make a drastic change until the pain of the situation, the thing that they're in, is greater than the pain of change, because it takes energy, it takes a hard thing to say no to something or to actually make that big change. But usually that happens when it's too late. You've crashed. But we do that. We lie to ourselves and just say, it's fine, it's fine. I don't need to rest. I don't need to take a break. I don't need to say no to these things. And we say, well, what does this have to do with God's word? Well, if I'm overwhelmed, if I'm so distracted by the world, how can I rest in Jesus? How can I find peace in him when I'm just going, and with everything in the world. If you come to the, we haven't done them in a little while, but we had the Partnering the Gospel discipleship courses previously, and I hand out this emotional healthy discipleship, and the first section talks about be before you do. How do you spend time with God? And as I hand this out to people, I give it to people in pre-marriage counseling, and all the different sections, they really look kind of deep in. And I have to say, me as one who I need to be listening to music, I'm always doing, this one is even hard for me, but think about some of these things and think about your life of how are you able to shut out everything else and spend time with God, our Savior, our Redeemer. Some of these questions, and see how they work for you. It says, I spend sufficient time alone with God to sustain my work for God so that I live out of a cup that overflows so I can love others. It's easy for me to identify what I'm feeling inside. If you're going, can you actually sit and confess? Can you understand your emotions? When I become anxious or feel like I have too much to do and too little time, I stop, slow down to be with God and myself as a way to recenter. I set about 24-hour periods of each week to rest. I try to take some time and rest. And we say, well, you can't do that. Well, and we go to church. But think about even what the Sabbath day was for the people of the Old Testament. It was rest. They weren't supposed to work, and they didn't go home, and they didn't go turn on the TV and watch the NFL or basketball, and they didn't go and play sports. They rested from their work. Farmers were to rest for a whole year every 7 years. Could you imagine that, farmers? It's just unthinkable for us. The other ones here, last, it says, people close to me would describe me as content, non-defensive, and free from the approval or disapproval of others. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with resting in Jesus or being at peace? Well, I'm not making it all about myself, and I'm resting in my Savior, and I'm thinking and knowing He's there and guiding me. I'm not defensive. I'm content in my Lord. I can rest in Him. The last one says, I regularly spend time in solitude and silence. It enables me to connect with my Savior, with God's presence. Can you slow down and not be anxious and know that your God is big enough? Because part of the problem is that we think we need to be the Savior. I've heard this one before too, is can you turn off your phone? Can you not just put it on silent, but can you turn it off and understand, what if someone calls for an hour? Do I need to not answer that? Can I be away from that? And is the world going to survive if I don't answer that? We kind of make it all about ourselves, our name, our reputations, and we don't find rest in God, and that He is in control. And that Jesus tells us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest, that His yoke is light and easy. And we just read about this on our Sunday night, and someone said, I never understood that. What does that mean, where His yoke is light, His burden is easy? The law, like His law is easy? Well, no, it's the gospel. That we need to remove the burden of the law but find it all in Christ. The law is about do, and the Sabbath rest is that Christ has done it for you. It's done. It's finished. And Christ has kept the law for you perfectly. He kept God's name perfectly. He rested perfectly so that you can find hope and forgiveness in Him. It's my prayer that we can think of God and His name greatly, to rest in His salvation and peace, but to truly understand it's not all about me, but to rest in our Savior and know that He's in control. And most of all, that He's redeemed you, that you're His child. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.